beer, sports, and summer. This is the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast Summer Series presented by Buffalo Wild Wings in Ankeny and Ames. Now, here are your two Asian Zing loving hosts, Chris Williams and Brent Bloom.
Hey, what's up, Fanatics? We're recording this on, let's see, what is it? September 22nd. Brent Bloom, is today still summer?
It's the last day of summer, so it's still qualified.
The summer solstice?
Summer solstice.
Is still in the hizzy. Welcome to the Buffalo Wild Wings summer series of podcasts here at CycloneFanatic.com. We're back. We're better than ever. We've been catching some flack because the summer series still has two installments left. This is the last day of summer, so one of the summer series of podcasts is going to have to be delayed until the fall.
To the Indian summer.
What, can you say that? Like, is that...
I don't know.
Or would it have to be like the Native American summer?
Good question. Let's call McIntyre. Channel 13.
It would have to be the...
What's the deal?
The autumn podcast.
But Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yeah.
Still.
I mean, here's the deal.
Very good.
What? It's great in the summer, but I think you can make an argument that Buffalo Wild Wings in Ankeny and Ames is even better in the fall.
I went there for my birthday last week, Buffalo Wild Wings. Wife said, you got one place to go for your birthday.
That was where you picked?
So I want to go to Buffalo Wild Wings.
What'd you get? What wing?
Asian Zing. Of course.
That's what I'm talking about.
They remodeled the place in Ankeny. It's pretty cool.
Like I haven't been
totally
in since the remodel.
Looks great. Did an awesome job with it. Food was spectacular. Service, again, fantastic. So that's my favorite place. Obviously, it's got an 11 a.m. game against Kansas.
We're going after that,
it's
right?
It's the best thing to do.
Yeah.
Because you get done with the game. So game ends at 2, but we work till 5.
Yeah.
Roughly.
Yep.
And it's perfect because you catch the end of the 2:30 game.
Yep.
And then it leads into that primetime game.
Yep.
And you've got all the TVs. We get to have a cold one.
Or 2.
Or 7.
If Iowa State loses to Kansas, I'm not even going home.
Get an Uber.
You're just going to find me passed out in an alley in Ankeny.
They'll get their money's worth from their sponsorship there. But it's a great place to stop because it's on the way to Des Moines. So it's like the perfect stop back home to Jack Trice.
Now, I would recommend to give our friends at Buffalo Wild Wings and Ames a little love. Here's what I'd do. If I were a tailgater, which I used to be, but I'm not anymore because I always have to work. If I were a tailgater, seeing most of these fancy vehicles these days have the plug-ins.
Maybe the electricity?
Yeah, they have electricity. That or a lot of people have the generators, mm-hmm. You know, these fancy generators that they bring around. And what I would do is bring the crock pot. Load up a crock pot with some wings to go.
Because, you know, let's face it, tailgating, the burgers and the...
Yeah, come on, it's over. I'd rather have my Buffalo Wild Wings.
Try something different.
Boneless. I'm a boneless guy. I'm sorry.
It's a good idea.
Anywho.
Stop right there on Duff Avenue.
Right there on Duff Avenue. We used to do the Cyclone Fanatic radio show from there way back in the day. Yeah, good stuff. Shout out to our friends, if you can't tell, at Buffalo Wild Wings for bringing us the summer series and the summer solstice series plus one Indian summer podcast here at CycloneFanatic.com. If you guys haven't listened to a summer series podcast before, the rules are simple. Bloom and I are in my basement. We are drinking beer. Brent, what are you having right now?
I got the Shock Top Honey Crisp Apple Wheat.
I've got the pumpkin wheat. See, Bloom brought over this Shocktoberfest of the seasonal brews tonight. We just got done eating Buffalo Wild Wings with our wives. We made some sweet potato for my daughter and pureed it. Not a fan.
Didn't like it.
Not a fan.
We like the Buffalo Wild Wings. The Shock Top's okay.
It's all right. It's okay. I mean, look, I feel like we'd be lying to our audience if we're like, oh, you guys got to go get this Shock Top.
Yeah, no, it's not. definitely not going to go make an extra stop to get it. But if it's there and you don't have anything else, yeah.
Yeah, you could do worse.
You could do worse.
You could drink a worse beer.
Considering this is the Coaching Search Podcast.
This is the Coaching Search Podcast. I feel like this is the one that people have been waiting for.
This would be, what choice would this be in Iowa State terms?
The Coaching Search Podcast?
Yeah.
I feel like this is...
It's kind of Wayne Morgan. You know, it's there.
Oh, the Shock Top is Wayne Morgan. It's not terrible. It's still, not, no, you went to an NCAA tournament.
It gets the job done. Not your long-term solution, but it was available, and I got it. And
what would the Paul Rhodes be? Would that be? I feel like the Paul Rhodes would be like not your father's root beer. It's pretty damn good for like two or three of them, and it was a big deal.
Oh, you could probably get it about anyone.
It makes you want to vomit after you've had like four of them.
Oh man!
Not to kick a man when he's down, but come on, it's the summer series, and we're like I said, we're having some beers.
Can you get that stuff anywhere now, can't you?
Oh, so I like
that's actually like, a funny comparison because Paul Rhodes was offered.
Wisconsin wanted Paul Rhodes.
That was 3 years ago,
dude. I remember my friends in Omaha in the media were like, no, like Tom Osborne loves Paul Rhodes
at Nebraska.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
Kirk Bowles. Do you remember that guy?
Yeah.
He was obsessed with Paul Rhodes.
He
taking the Texas job. Yes, he thought he was going to replace Mac Brown.
I mean, everyone's killing the contract now.
Yeah, it wasn't a bad contract.
I don't think it was a bad contract at the time.
It's like Gene Chizik was not a bad hire.
If Paul leaves, because when they gave the contract, it was December 2011.
Yep.
When that was the pit.
I remember I was at a wedding, and I got a tip from one of my best sources that Paul Rhodes has a contract offer from Wisconsin. I'm like, ruh-roh.
Yeah, so that, I mean, yeah. You can talk about the contract, but again, it's not that Jamie's job as athletic director, it's not easy.
No. God,
he dealt with some Fred stuff, too, with Minnesota.
Yep. And that was very real. Close people to me who know how this all works still doubt that that was real. That was real.
I agree with you.
That was as real as a heart attack, Fred and the Minnesota Golden Gophers.
When they hired Tino.
Yes.
Yes.
It was so real. So real that people in Ames were angry at the mayor. It was not a good situation there for about 2 weeks. But, you know, he stuck around.
And he made a couple more tournaments.
I was on a phone call, and this is, I guess, a decent way to start our Coaching Search Podcast because it's somewhat related.
Jump right in.
I was on a phone call with one of my best sources from the Hoiberg era.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what night of the week it was. I want to say it was like a Thursday night or whatever. And I'm driving home from whatever I was doing. And I'll never forget, like, because I was I just belched because we're drinking beer in my basement and doing a podcast. What's it to you? Buffalo Wild Wings, summer series. One of my best sources who was locked in on this deal. And I'm doubting it. I'm just like everybody else. I'm like, Fred Hoiberg is not talking to Minnesota. Oh, the Timberwolves? No, the Golden Gophers? Huh? Oh, yeah. Talks are happening, man. You need to take this seriously. You need to get to writing. What? Funny thing about it, like 4 hours later, that contract came out. His first extension.
And for those wondering, why? Because there was a theory here that was floated.
Rashad Vaughn.
Well, now that Fred's gone, I mean, I think it's fair to say what his thought process was. And I think it was a very reasonable process. If Fred's goal was to win a national championship, he could have done it at Iowa State. But there was also almost a short-term path at Minnesota. Because in that high school class, the same high school class, the state of Minnesota, was Vaughn.
Reed Travis
and Tyus Jones.
Mm.
Jones goes and wins
a
national title at Duke.
Yep.
The thought was, take the Minnesota job, keep all those three kids in state, and then...
Then we could go off to the NBA and become the next Timberwolves job.
And I don't know if that's exactly what he was thinking, but it wasn't just, oh, I don't like it, Iowa State. It was, what's the easiest path to win a national title? Which people aren't going to like that. But I think that was a legitimate thought in the mayor's head, like 3 years ago, whenever that was, 2 years ago. So it didn't happen.
And ultimately,
prevail.
Yeah, ultimately he goes, hey, no, I want to be at Iowa State. Which should make you feel good. Yeah. But the conversations were happening.
Yeah, I remember that.
Do we want to go in chronological order? I almost think, though, we have to start with this latest basketball coaching search. I mean...
Sure, let's do that.
I mean, we've got to start with, first of all, the
agent. Hornacek agent?
We can start there. Or do you want to start with, like, Fred's decision to leave?
Sure. I don't know what more there
is. All I know is the media got beat up a lot because nobody believed that Fred would ever leave. And, listen, I mean... I feel like I was as close to this as anybody.
Yeah, of course.
And I didn't see any... And I call people out all the time. I did not see any I did not see any poor reporting at the local level on Fred Hoiberg's departure from Iowa State. I don't think anybody jumped the gun. In fact, I think we all sat on it for probably a little bit too long. I make that argument.
Oh, I agree. Because I remember we had a conversation in early May. You said, you know what? Just talking to some people, not real confident. What do you mean? Like, we just got some recruits in town. And then just I'm just hearing things. So that
it was right around the spring game.
Yeah, so it was like late April, early May.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote that. I remember it well. I wrote that why Hoiberg would think about the NBA column.
Yep.
You can look it up.
I remember.
It was May 12th when that was published. And at the time, it was, no way. No way that would happen. But as time would have it, and I don't think it was because of the column. I just think it's because that was the same day as the tailgate tour.
Yeah.
Pollard goes on.
Oh, yeah.
The tailgate steward says, we know that Fred's dream job is in the NBA.
And so it was very cryptic.
But it amplified kind of the timeline. And all of a sudden, you're Fred, you're going, I can't say anything because the Bulls are still playing. So he might have known. I don't even know. I don't know for sure what he knew when. I'm guessing... He had an idea that there might be some teams interested, and the best thing to do if there's some teams interested is just don't say a word because it's only going to burn you. But then that's where it started, and it never really calmed down until Thibodeau was fired, and then when did everything ultimately resolved in early June?
There's a theory out there that Fred knew in January that he was the next head coach of the Chicago Bulls. I will tell you that is false. Fred also was talking with the Pelicans. This is after the season.
Yes.
Yep. Talked with the Pelicans. I believe he talked with the Orlando Magic.
It was reported by the Orlando Sentinel that he indeed interviewed with the Orlando Magic.
And now that it's over, I mean, I feel like it's okay for me to say this. When it was a Saturday, I think I put out a report that Fred Hoiberg had not made a decision as of yet. I talked to Fred Hoiberg that day, off the record, and I'm sure he'd be fine now because he had not made a decision. There are all these reports of a contract that was in place. He had not made a decision up until then. Had he made a decision to leave Iowa State? Potentially, I don't know the answer to that. But he had multiple offers in the National Basketball Association as to where he could go. There was no contract done, nothing like that. That happened when he got on the plane and flew to Chicago. Now, did his agent have it in place? That's possible too, but at that point he was still mulling over multiple teams.
Because correct me if I'm wrong, but he read some of the reaction from the fans.
He did. It hurt him.
And he was legitimately miffed by something.
Yeah.
Which it goes to show that it was not it was not a done deal.
It was not a done deal. I don't care what anybody like believes, and they can call him a liar. It was not a done deal.
In the Simmons thing, that's the weird part because he said Hoiberg's the Bulls guy
like a year ago,
like last May.
Yeah.
So it made it look a little convenient, but it just.
But Simmons,
it's crazy how that all ended up.
Simmons
out.
Simmons's sources are not from the camp of Hoiberg.
Correct.
Simmons's sources are from Chicago. He's probably talking to somebody who knows Gar Forman, and they know about Fred and Gar like to play golf together. In fact, my guess as to where Simmons was coming from, where did Tom Thibodeau come from?
Boston. Yeah.
Maybe who do you think Bill Simmons is talking to? He's getting the Thibodeau side, and they're already jaded because they know Fred's going to be the front runner. That's my guess as to where that all came from.
That would make sense. Yeah, there's a lot of love.
That just came to me as we were talking about this.
That's actually probably pretty true. Thibodeau's not coaching, by the way.
So he's just going to cash his checks. Which is crazy for a guy. Like, what is he going to do with his life?
He'll coach.
Well, he'll coach again. But like, what is he doing? Like, he's got to be going crazy.
He coached the USA, wherever they were, Pan American or something.
Okay. So anyways, coach, I just wanted to get that out. I've wanted to get that off my chest for a long time. Fred had not taken that job. I think the whole time, I think I'm positive he was leaning that way.
Of course.
Because it was his dream and it is what he wanted to do. But he had not taken the job at that point.
Yeah, and it puts Iowa State fans in a dilemma for this year, I think. Because do you root for Fred? I think
absolutely.
So. I think you do. I am.
That guy made you nationally relevant.
I think so, too.
And you're the sport you're most passionate about.
Yeah, so that'll be... It's weird that the NBA starts a Saturday at training camp. And President of the Bulls.
Dude, if you're an Iowa State fan and you can't root for Fred, I think you need to really have a long look in the mirror and just get over it. He didn't do any... I don't think Fred did anything wrong.
I don't either. It would have been great if he would have won a national title in Ames.
What I would like to have seen...
Didn't happen.
Is I'd like to see some sort of a... Iowa State came back and offered Hoiberg this to stay, which we've never seen.
But I
don't think it would have mattered. I don't think it would have mattered. I don't think Fred would have stayed, but I would have liked to have known what happened behind closed doors, and I'm not privy to this information. I'd love to know how hard Iowa State fought to keep that guy.
I think at that point, though, it's the writing was on the wall. I don't know.
But dude, if they came in and gave him like Calipari money, which Fred would have had to make him think about it. That's all I ask.
It's done with now, and I think this year it's gonna be weird. That first game at Hilton Coliseum, it really is.
Yeah,
and I think it'll be an adjustment period with Prom, and it's an important year for him. Recruiting has gone, I think, better than expected, which is great.
They've overachieved,
and that's another podcast we can do another time. But definitely tip of the cap to the staff for keeping things. The guys are getting pretty impressive.
Let's move on to the Prom coaching search.
Yeah.
You want to talk about the agent?
Cornus X agent.
Yeah.
Like, that was real.
Oh, yeah.
That was an actual agent, which is crazy.
That made, like, national.
That is crazy how that happened. Because I remember reading that going, wait. Is this real? On CycloneFanatic.com, Cornus X agent is really doing contract negotiation. And he got in a beef with you over your reporting, and you were 100% correct.
Yes.
But he was mad because he got played.
Yeah. Because
you and Iowa State.
My report essentially shot down his opportunity to get an extension. With the Suns. Not necessarily my report, but had that come out from anybody.
Right.
Now, maybe it didn't stop it. I don't know. But that's what he was upset about. In his mind.
So he tried to cover it up with his own little story.
And my source on that one could not have been more locked in.
I believe you.
I would never be reckless about any sort of a report like that.
And it's interesting. If you go back and you look at... I encourage you fanatics. Some of you are probably listening in your car. But when you get to a computer, go back and read the news articles from the coaching search on Fanatic. And then just see how the timelines played out and how accurate they were. You might go, oh, those guys were kind of right. But that's what it was. It was pretty accurate at the end of the day how things ended up being. Now, the TJ thing got a little squirrely, and I still am not quite sure how that all played out. But
well, I think maybe a little controversial here. Do you want me? Can I make a controversial statement?
You have before. You'll do it again.
I think that had John Rothstein's unnamed source,
mm-hmm.
You remember that report?
Yeah.
It was on a Friday afternoon that Otzelberger was the front runner.
I remember that. It was a Friday.
Yep. I think that really hurt TJ Otzelberger's shot to become Iowa State's head coach.
because that got the antennas up for a lot of people, thought it was all predetermined.
Nope. And I don't know if it's right or wrong. I don't know. But personally, I was in Camp Otzelberger at the time. I like Steve Prohm. He's grown on me. I wasn't crazy at first. I mean, it wasn't. He did not knock it out of the park in his press conference. I wasn't impressed, but I've grown to really like Steve Prohm, and I hope he does well.
But from what I understand, there were how many coaches interviewed in Atlanta?
Okay, so
Atlanta,
you had Otzelberger and Prohm.
They interviewed
Brad Underwood.
They all interviewed the same place.
Yeah, in Atlanta, a hotel.
Yeah.
Yeah, Brad Underwood, Bryce Drew.
Of Boston, Bryce Drew did it.
And the guy from NC Central.
Oh, Moten?
Moten. Yeah. He had the five. He was like the surprise interview.
Okay. So this guy is legitimately interviewed.
The name I heard first was Dana Altman, that he was really interested in the job.
Pushing for it.
That was the first name I heard, other than Otzelberger, who was an obvious candidate.
Right.
The first name I heard was Dana Altman. Because of that whole, like, rape stuff in Oregon, apparently was trying. But I didn't, after Boo Boo Paulo, I mean, Iowa State can't touch a situation like that. But, yeah, I had heard him. And Tim Floyd's people were really pushing.
Yeah, he wanted it.
He wanted it bad.
Well, they wanted something.
His agent, and this is where it all comes from, folks. All this stuff you see in the media with coaching searches. It's one of two things. It's agents chirping, or it's media talking to each other and stealing each other's information.
It was interesting following the Fred thing.
Am I wrong there?
No, you're right, because Iowa State was now a national story. And it was at the time of the year where you had your Rothsteins, your Goodmans, your Parrishes.
They had nothing else to do.
They didn't have anything else. So that was the story.
Yeah.
So they were all following it. But if you look at who ended up being correct, I mean, I still don't know. I think everyone gets sometimes kills the local Des Moines media, but I think they were pretty close to on the story the whole time.
I can't think of anything that was egregious.
Now
the Hornacek thing too. I'll add this. From what I understand, according to my sources, Iowa State reached out to Jeff Hornacek. Said, we would like you to interview for the job.
Why not?
And he said, thanks, but no thanks. From what I understand from Camp Hornacek, he didn't want to be interviewed. He wanted it to be more of like a Fred Hoiberg deal, or, you know, Jamie Pollard drives to Fred Hoiberg's house and offers him the job. There wasn't much of a... Now, having said that, I still don't
know if he takes it.
He didn't want it the whole time. He wanted to have that so he could use it as leverage.
And he's under some pressure this year with the Suns.
Yes. He's got to win.
So he's got to win this year. So there's some... I thought the Hornacek thing the entire time, it was almost too convenient for all parties.
Yeah.
You replace a guy going to the NBA with a guy coming from the NBA who's also an alum. And I just never... Considering that Hornacek never really came back to Ames, it just felt too forced.
I've seen Jeff Hornacek in Ames one time.
He came back for this all-century thing.
Didn't they retire his jersey and he showed up?
Yeah, they did that too. So maybe like twice.
Maybe a couple times. That doesn't matter. It doesn't mean he wouldn't have been a good coach.
He could have been good. I mean, his style would have been similar to Fred's, but...
One more thing on that agent.
Just too perfect for that.
One more thing on the agent. I called that guy multiple times. I emailed him. I wanted him to come on my radio show and to tell me what was not accurate about my report.
Never did.
Never got a response.
Well, he
refused to do it.
He knew. He got caught. But why comment on the...
On a message board.
Blog post. It wasn't the message. It was on like the bottom of the story. That was classic. But that... It's hard to determine... And we can do another podcast 5 years from now, another Buffalo Wild Wing summer series, and determine what was the right decision. But that was a more national coaching search than Iowa State's ever had. So that was the difference with the Hoiberg search compared to everything else.
Where do we want to go from here? I know you did some research earlier today. Do we want to get into like the Paul Rhodes and Chiswick searches?
We can.
Do we want to, or do you want to go back and tell us a little bit of what you discovered?
Well, today? I think the first coaching search, this was interesting to me. So I went back after the Johnny Bruce era, or not Johnny Bruce, the Earl Bruce.
Man, you're going way back. Yeah.
So this okay, let's, what made this interesting to me, looking back at some of these things, and I'll go through several of these, is what would it be like if it happened today? So Donnie Duncan gets hired in 1978 from assistant from Oklahoma at the time.
Okay.
Duncan's at Iowa State for 4 years. He's got a record of a little couple games under 500. 1982, Donnie Duncan decides, you know what? I'm out.
He didn't want to deal with it
anymore. I'm going to be a financial advisor in Texas.
So wait a second. Iowa State lost a head coach to become a financial advisor.
In 1982.
What did your coach make back then?
I'm just that curious. I think his contract when he was hired in 1978 was like $65,000.
Okay.
But he jumps ship to be a financial advisor. Can you see a Power 5 coach doing that these days? What kind of media would happen if Paul Rhodes says, you know what?
I'm out. Sorry, guys.
I'm going to sell real estate.
I wouldn't blame him.
Yeah. But that,
not necessarily him, but like, man.
But so this is where Iowa State was at the time. I mean, this is 4 years removed from a pretty good era of Iowa State football.
Yeah.
And the guy leaves.
Where did you find that info?
It was, there's Google, old Google articles.
Really?
That's the great thing about Google, is you can find these things.
Okay.
But he jumps, and now Donnie Duncan then went, eventually was the AD at Oklahoma, or worked in the athletic department.
So he went.
And he worked for the Fiesta Bowl.
He was a financial advisor, then he bolted that
back
industry
to Oklahoma,
and then the Fiesta Bowl.
And a couple other steps along the way, too. Yeah, I think he worked for the Big 8 Conference for a little bit.
Wow.
But he started
out. Is he still alive? Is he still around?
He's still around.
We should get a hold of him. Get him on the radio program.
To be a financial advisor.
Wow.
In 1982, Iowa State then hires Jim Crime. At the time, there was another coach at the University of Tulsa that was available and wanted the job. That man, John Cooper.
Whoa. You just blew my mind.
Went on to.
How did you find that? Google?
Yeah. Went to coach. John Cooper's an Iowa State alum. Was on the Dirty 30 team.
Yeah, I knew that.
He went on to coach, won a Pac-12 title at Arizona State, and then 3 Big Ten titles at Ohio State. Iowa State had their shot at him in 82, but apparently there was an administrator who did not like John Cooper.
What was that administrator's name?
I don't remember.
Okay.
But didn't sign off on it. So Iowa State went with Jim Kreiner, and things did not go well for Jim Kreiner. NCAA violations.
So John Cooper could have been the Iowa State.
1982.
My God, he could have been R.R. Bryles.
So that was and you wonder
if you make a different hire, how things are now.
And Iowa State was not as committed to football. But I'm going to read you something. So Kreiner gets let go in 1986, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that was another 4 years. It was not a great tenure. So Iowa State has two coaches, their top two candidates in 1986. One of them, Glenn Mason, who went on to have some success at Minnesota and Kansas.
He was at Iowa State, or he was a candidate? Oh, okay.
To be the coach.
Yeah.
And the other...
He just did color commentary for the Iowa game the other night.
Yeah, that's it. The other, Jim Walden. Jim Walden was the head coach at Washington State. He had two job offers at the time in 1986. One was at the University of Maryland. The other was at Iowa State. Walden goes to Maryland because he was going to consult with him on the job, thinking he might take that. He decides to just be nice to Iowa State and stop by. He stops by Ames, and this is his quote from... This is from Pullman, Washington, the Spokesman Review, 1986. This is from Jim Walden. Just listen if this sounds kind of interesting to you. 1986. "I was flabbergasted, if you want to know the truth," Walden said. "Whoever takes that job will be provided the things it takes to be good without hamstringing him into a situation where he's supposed to beat Oklahoma and Nebraska. Those two," speaking of Oklahoma and Nebraska, "would spend $10 million to stay ahead of anybody that comes nipping at their heels, and they understand that at Iowa State. They'd like to be able to win 7, 8, 9 games, go to a bowl game once in a while, but they are without the aspirations of being a Big 8 champion." The Cyclones do offer, he said, a beautiful stadium, a new locker room, and all that jazz. They're Washington State with a better percentage, with more wherewithal in terms of money, stadium, and people. They sold 43,000 season tickets 2 years ago and 36,000 tickets last year when they dropped down because students quit coming for some reason. But something appealed to me. They made a nice pitch. They aroused my curiosity. But it's interesting. All the way back in 1986, if I were to read you that quote that I just said.
It sounds like now.
It sounds like now, and that's 30 years ago. But back at the time, they hired Walden. They were competing with Maryland, and they got Walden, who was a good hire at the time. And he had success for a good year or two, and that was it. But it's interesting. He openly said in the Pullman paper, which is the Washington State paper, that Iowa State does not want to compete for Big Eight championships. They just want to be.
They just want to be okay.
They'll be okay once in a while.
Yeah.
I thought that. I mean, considering where we're at now, that's fascinating.
Think about if
that's 30 years ago.
Let's say, hypothetically, let's say Paul Rhodes is not here next year, and if name a Bob Stitt or Tom Herman or.
PJ Fleck.
Fleck, your guy Fleck. Yeah. Like any of these guys who we think would be candidates for the Iowa State job, if they were quoted, well, you know, Iowa State's a good job because, you know, they don't even care if you win.
You can finish fourth.
I mean, hell, they're going to show up no matter what. I don't know why the students didn't go anymore, but hell, they got a nice stadium. They bowled in their stadium. Wow.
Yeah.
That's some damn good research out of you,
got
man.
The job. After that quote. I mean, and Iowa State beat out Maryland, which was a...
Were they okay at the time? Okay. I mean, I don't know anything about the history of Maryland football.
But, yeah, he turned down two jobs, he says. He said some of the places... He said Iowa State could be like Wisconsin and Purdue someday. So...
Well, you know what's funny is the first time I ever interviewed Jamie Pollard, I would have been... A junior in college at Cyclone Nation. And that Wisconsin model is what Jamie's always he gave you from day one, you know, like about how they became who they are. You got to win 6 games consistently before you can win 8. And unfortunately, we are still trying to get to the win 6 consistently.
Yep, so Walden obviously didn't work out.
Okay, what happened next?
He was let go in 1994.
Okay.
Iowa State had interviewed 3 people in 1994. One guy got the job. We all knew who that is.
Yep.
And we'll get into that in a little bit. The other 2 that were interviewed, and I honestly did not know this until I looked it up today. Gary Blackney from Bowling Green. Bowling Green had just won 9 games in 1994. He was one of those MAC up and coming.
How many games did they play in 1994? So they went
9-2.
9-2. Okay, excuse me.
Gary Blackney did not get the job, clearly. He was fired from Bowling Green 4 years later because he never had another winning season after that.
So he's Rob Jeter in this scenario.
There's another one. Good. The other name that I was interviewed, this is Gene Smith, was the AD at the time.
Yep.
Dell Miller, who was Bill Snyder's offensive coordinator at Kansas State.
How long did he stay at Kansas State?
He left that year to be the head coach at SEMO.
Southeast Missouri State.
But now he's back on staff. He's the co-office coordinator currently at Kansas State.
Seriously? He's still in the game?
Miller. Yep. He's their quarterback's coach. So they were going just so Gene Smith.
So did they make the right hire in McCartney?
I don't know. I mean, so it's interesting. Let's say they go Miller. You go from the Snyder tree, which is also the Hayden Fry tree.
Mm-hmm. So this Miller coached under Fry?
Yeah, he coached under Fry at Iowa. And then he went with Bill to K-State. So they were trying to – everyone's saying, oh, Iowa State needs to get their Bill Snyder. Well, they almost got a K-State guy in 1994 when they hired McCartney. But the other
– So if that guy – just hypothetically, if that guy gets the job, do we become JUCO U as well?
I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm guessing he takes –
He's probably going to do a lot of what Bill was doing.
A little bit of that.
Okay, so McCartney?
So McCartney gets the job and from Wisconsin. He was the defensive coordinator of Wisconsin.
Okay.
Obviously an Iowa guy. Played it.
How far out was he from Iowa when he got the Iowa State job?
I think he was at Wisconsin for 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, okay.
But he gets the job in December-ish, January. In May, it comes out. that he had a domestic abuse situation with his ex-wife. And then I actually had to do a review of the situation. His ex-wife had a restraining order against Dan about a year previous. And he said he disclosed this all to the Iowa State people, but it comes out in the papers that Dan had this hanging over his head. So I got to thinking, that's 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. Considering the culture of America now, and the...
There's no way he's Iowa State's coach.
I just don't think he becomes Iowa State's head coach. I think they do a review and they say sorry.
The public...
Yeah, the outcry. Yeah. And there was some. I mean, we were 10, 11 years old.
I remember
some of... There was some of that where you read it in the paper, but like, oh, what does this mean, Dad? It's like, well, there's, you know, a situation with his ex. Okay. But... If that happens now, considering how, I mean, I don't know what the right word, sensitive is maybe not the right word, but we're all aware, more aware of domestic abuse.
Well, that and just Twitter, I mean.
And all that stuff. I don't think there's any way Dan McCartney would have become the head coach if it was 20 years from now.
Especially before coaching a game. Like, right, if that comes out 2 years in, that's one thing. Yeah. Before he's coached a game, I'm with you. Yeah,
so that almost, the Dan McCartney era almost got stopped before it got started. Now, Gene Smith and the administration eventually did a review and they came to the conclusion that Dan was never charged with a crime. Okay, let's get that clear because I don't want that to
become a problem. That's important.
But it was, there was a restraining order against him. There was no criminal charge. But I wonder, you know, 20 years later, what if anything would be any different?
Steve Sarkisian hasn't been charged with crime, and I mean,
yeah, and so there's some heat that way.
I mean, but that whole deal, I mean, he's got to win games, but he could still get fired. And if you think that doesn't have a lot to do with it, then you're crazy. That doesn't happen. I don't know. That's interesting.
So
I would say 70-30. 70 Nevers Iowa State's head coach. 30.
I lean that way as well.
30, yeah, because he wasn't ever charged, he gets the job.
So that, of course, took us to Chizik, and we can get into that a little bit. You want to go basketball quickly with the old days?
Yeah. Let's do football.
Let's do football. Okay.
You all right with that?
Yeah, that's fine.
The Chizik.
That was right in our.
When we were kind of starting our careers.
Yeah, we're just getting going.
We were both working at CycloneNation.com.
The artist formerly known.
Yeah, the artist formerly known at CycloneNation.com. No comment there. So, I'm trying to think of where to start here.
McCartney gets, just to get the backs, because there's some younger fans. So I mean, this is nine. That's crazy. This is 9 years ago. Like, think about that.
Yeah, it's damn near a decade.
That's a long time. So, McCartney resigns 2 games before the end of the year.
Quote, resigns.
Yeah.
He didn't resign.
No,
he was forced out.
He was forced out.
For anybody who doesn't understand that, he was forced out.
And the reason at the time was Iowa State needed to take the next step.
Which I totally agree with.
At the time, it made sense to me, too. Because they had so much promise. It was really quick, though. And I wrote last year, if Jamie Pollard started as AD before last year, Rhodes is gone last year. Because he was new, he needed to make an impact early. So I think it was Jamie's first big move as an AD, and he needed to insert himself.
Was Bobby Douglas out before or after Mac?
He was after.
Okay.
Yeah, Mac was his, because Jamie started in 05, Mac was his big, that was the big move.
Yeah.
Well, actually his first big move was Wayno. That was the spring of 06, but we'll get into that a little bit. But it was a big move at the time because Iowa State was clearly not going to make a bowl game. They were trending the wrong way, and the 05 disaster of turning an 11-win season into 7 was hanging over everything because that was the Big 12 North. Should have won it. We've talked about that on the podcast before. So it was time to make...
That was Iowa State's opportunity to take that step.
They didn't do it.
Much like Paul Rhodes' 2012 team.
And they didn't do it.
In 2012, right?
Yeah.
That was the team that should have gone 8-4.
Or perhaps better.
Or perhaps better.
But McCartney resigned on like a Tuesday in the Jacobson building. And Jamie was there with... Remember they had that press conference there in front of everything. But so he coached the last two games against Colorado, where they got beat, and then he beat Missouri.
Well, they
last game of the year.
Yeah, they kind of screwed Missouri, really.
I mean, it was the right call.
You think it was the right call? All right, whatever.
But yeah, so then the coaching started.
Ryan Cook went off. He had like 175 yards.
176.
Rushing.
Last time I say rushers had 175 or more in that game.
Ryan Cook.
Yep.
Who married the basketball player?
Robinette.
Katie Robinette.
Yep.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
She was always one of my favorites to watch. Yeah, she'd nice. Get down there and
she'd mix it up,
toss some elbows. And,
right.
Yeah, she was awesome.
So then the coaching search starts right after McCarney.
Well, let me tell you this.
That
coaching search had started way before that. Because I had a guy, and I don't know who this guy was at the time. I didn't know who he was. I've told this story, I believe. But there was a guy reaching out to me on message boards. This is private messages on our message
because
board.
Keep in mind now, 06, right? There's no Twitter.
Yeah.
I don't even know if you could Facebook message in 06. You could write on somebody's wall.
Yeah, but in Facebook, it was just like the universities. Like, right. Mom and dad weren't on Facebook.
I mean, there's still the email and stuff. But this guy private messaged you on your Cyclone Nation.
And he's talking to me about Jim Harbaugh. About how there's already conversations. Jim Harbaugh is at San Diego University.
Which is division...
The Pioneer League. They play Drake.
Yeah. Jim Harbaugh is Drake.
And I'm getting messages from this guy being like, hey, you know, just tipping you off here that, you know, there's conversations going on and Harbaugh is going to be the next head coach at Iowa State. He wants the job and... You know, you've got a young athletic director who's wanting to make a splash, and he's interested in him and everything. Keep in mind, I am wet between the ears, man. I have no idea. I've never done anything like this.
Yep.
And, you know, and I'm kind of bad. I am just taking this for what it is.
I remember we would go, because we were still in college.
Yeah, we're juniors in college. Yeah.
We would go to the Welch Ave, and you'd be like, I got this guy.
Yeah.
I don't know what to believe. Like, what? Harbaugh?
Yeah.
Like, that was the coolest thing ever. Harbaugh's contacting you from Cyclone Nation? You're like, yeah, what do I do with this?
I didn't do anything with it.
What do we do?
But at the time, like, I thought, okay, this guy's full of it.
Sure.
At the end of the way this thing ended up, I mean, I basically found out who this guy was, and he went on and was in the development aspect of Jim Harbaugh's first staff at Stanford. It goes back to these coaching searches. Everybody has an agenda, and they try to use the media to work that agenda. And Jim Harbaugh did get interviewed for that job at Iowa State, which Gene Chizik ultimately got. I don't know why Jamie Pollard didn't like Jim Harbaugh at the time, but knowing Jim Harbaugh now and knowing Jamie Pollard as well as I do, that would be oil and water.
I think that's exactly
that would what not have been a good mix.
Well, he was unproven. Like, what? You got a division, essentially, two head coach. Yeah, he had some cachet. I was shocked when Stanford hired him, actually.
Well, he would have been a better fit at Iowa State, just in my mind at the time, than Stanford.
More of a Midwest guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so that was one interview they did. This is why 06 was amazing.
Brian Kelly.
Brian Kelly was the marquee candidate.
Central Michigan. This is before he went to Cincinnati.
He had just won, like, back-to-back nine games. And Central Michigan, but before that, he was at what Grand Valley State,
Division II Power,
and they won a national championship
against our Northwest Missouri State Bearcats. And Joel Osborne, my guy.
But the question was, what the heck does that guy know about recruiting in Iowa? Brian Kelly's like, he's just a Division II coach.
They played us. Brian Kelly's group played us so bad. We all thought he was getting.
Oh, I was convinced till the day. They hired
Chizik came out of nowhere.
He did. That it was going to be Kelly. And I was okay. I mean, I was just okay with Kelly. I was just like, okay. He's the fallback guy.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Brian Kelly. Cool.
Candidate number three. You know?
Well, Chizik.
Well, yeah. Other than Chizik.
Who was it? It was...
He was at Houston at the time.
Riles. That's going to pain you through the day.
Oh, that one sticks in my craw.
Because Art had been at Houston for just,
I think, 2 years.
2 years. He was a high school coach legend.
And he had RG3. So you can make an argument. If Art Briles, because RG3
was a two-star recruit.
Yep. And he left. He was committed to Houston, signed with Houston. When Art Briles took Baylor. So did Art stay at Houston one more year? Or did he get the Baylor?
No, he had one more year.
Okay, then RG3 would not have ended up in Iowa State.
Well,
I was going to make that connection. But he still would have kept recruiting him.
He would have kept recruiting him. We don't know. I mean, who knows? But RG3 was not a headliner by any means.
No.
He was a track guy that also played with a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And Riles was always the same question. He's a Texas guy. What is he going to do?
Yeah, and
we still don't.
I'll maintain that, like, in Jamie's defense. Like, everybody knows how much I like Art Briles and respect him, not counting the sexual assault deal that's going on right now. Everything he's built that on is based off of his connections in Texas high school football. And I feel like the flair that is Art Briles decreases significantly if he's not coaching in the state of Texas.
Yeah, because he can't do that. He can't get away with the access.
So I don't – like, listen, and this is just my objective opinion here. I don't know if he would have been like this home run hire at Iowa State.
He would have brought in a system.
To me, Harbaugh would, of all those guys, I think Kelly's number one.
I'll agree with that.
Harbaugh number two, Briles and Chizik.
But at the time, though, I think we can't rewrite history, because I think a lot of Iowa State fans go, you know, 5-19 Gene.
Yep.
And it's a big joke.
He was a home run?
He was the best assistant coach in the nation at the time.
Young, hotshot D coordinator out of Texas.
He also worked at Auburn, mm-hmm. right?
I believe so.
Was it Auburn?
Yeah. I don't know.
Tuberville.
Was he a Tommy Tuberville guy?
Yeah. Because that's why they hired him back when he left Iowa State.
I'm sorry.
He had won a national championship or was part of that Auburn team in 03 that went undefeated. I think they ended up finishing like third. Right. So then he won a national championship at Texas as a defensive coordinator in 05. You couldn't have picked a more marquee name. I mean, Chizik had just won the assistant coach of the year. Mack Brown had essentially given him his highest recommendation.
Basically,
Chizik was going to go somewhere huge.
That would be like right now, Sands is like Tom Herman. That type of a name, except Tom's been a head coach for like 3 weeks. But
yeah, I mean, when Tom was last year at Ohio State.
Yeah, like you're leaving the best program in the country.
To go to
Iowa State. And you're the number one assistant.
And Iowa State gave a huge contract at the time in 06. Plus, they increased their assistant salary pool to the third highest in the Big 12.
Which was like the 30th highest in the country.
Yeah, it was a massive, massive influx of money.
This was another Jamie Pollard move to show I am committed to winning in football.
And I still, like, people will make fun of that because it didn't work out. But I think at the time, there's no way to know that Chizik was going to be that. It wouldn't have worked as horrifically as it did.
And who knows? Like, that, when Paul Rhodes led Iowa State to a bowl game in 2009, I mean, Chizik could have very well done that, right, too. However, I'll say, like, I mean, I thought it was pretty clear Chizik was lacking
PR skills.
Well, we all know that. But, like, I mean, do you remember the Missouri game that he coached?
Yeah.
It was one of the last games he coached at Iowa State.
Yeah.
And I just remember, like, the
quarterback.
Well, who?
Chase Daniels.
Like, the clock management of that game just being, like, something you can't explain. He used Iowa State to learn on the job. I mean, that's what happened.
He did, and
you're welcome, Auburn.
I started to get a bad feeling when he hired Wayne Bolt.
And you go in to interview him, and he's spitting tobacco
not
everywhere?
Not even that. It's just like, we're spending all this money on assistant coaches, and the best guy you get is Wayne Bolt. What?
He just hired all of his buddies.
He did. They were all buddies of his, which was fine.
Yeah, I mean, I remember talking to those guys. They were very open about it. They're like, the first time one of us ever get a job, we were all going to hire each other. And that's exactly what they did.
That's what happened. And You know, but I think we it's easy to rewrite history and call that, you know, a bad move. But there was a lot of programs that would have taken Gene Chizik.
No, I don't think it was a bad move, but I think knowing what we know now.
Of course.
Yeah. Brian Kelly's the best of that group, and it's not even close.
Oh, yeah. I mean, him and Harbaugh.
Yeah, but, like, listen.
But he would have.
What I like about Kelly is this is a guy who's won at places where it's hard to win. You know, Harbaugh was good at Stanford, but you're in California, and it's Stanford.
You get that type of...
It's a difficult place to recruit, just in the sense that you've got to have a certain GPA and all that, but...
He also found a way to get his luck.
Well, and did you read Tom Herman's essay for Sports Illustrated?
No.
Okay, well, read it. And Herman writes about how, when he was at Rice... There's a certain quarterback who wanted to go somewhere, but it had to be of the most highest academic standard. He was going to play quarterback. He had narrowed it down to Stanford and Rice. His name is Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
And he could have gone anywhere. So, you know, so my point is, a lot of times, like, the whole Stanford, like, you can get guys.
Yeah.
Because of that. I think that, listen, Brian Kelly's won everywhere.
He has.
From the D2 level to Central Michigan to Cincinnati to Notre Dame. He's won everywhere. I take that guy over Harbaugh, and that's only in the sense that, I mean...
And correct me if I'm wrong, and I don't know this, but something happened where Kelly was holding out for Michigan State.
And D'Antonio got it.
And I think D'Antonio, yeah, got it. But he waited too long. So Iowa State perhaps then said, okay.
I didn't know that, but it makes sense.
Were they there? There's some guys on the same level, right? Chizik and Kelly. I think we're on the same level. But Kelly took too long to decide.
And it sounded like Harbaugh and Pollard always had a little bit of an issue.
One the word.
And then Briles, I think, was a distant fourth.
But it's crazy, though.
I mean, he had a hell of a pool of candidates. I mean, he probably cheated, but Gene Chizik won a national title.
He did.
Look at that group. Harbaugh's coaching a Super Bowl.
And I'll give Gene some credit. He brought some pretty good players, Dane.
He did.
I mean, he got a couple NFL guys.
What happened when Chiz left? Who's the guy? Was it Darius Dark who put on the Michigan State jersey?
Yeah.
And did like a YouTube video?
That was him. Yeah, but Darius Starks had just set the record for most catches ever by a freshman.
Yeah.
He ended up being kind of the highlight of his career.
But it was the best season of his life.
So let's go to that. Chizik leaves.
Yep.
Rough deal. You're like, what do we do now? And I believe the only two serious candidates, I think, and you would know more than me.
There were two candidates that I'm aware of.
And the number one guy... The University of Buffalo, Turner Gill.
Yep.
He didn't.
Apparently, he did not want it.
Did not want it.
I didn't really cover that search, so I don't know nearly as much about it because I was
kind of in the interim time.
I was down in Shenandoah at that time, but I still was kind of listening in on some stuff. But yeah, I mean, because I just remember when they said Paul Rhodes, I was surprised. I remember finding out. You'll appreciate this. I was on duty down at KMA in Shenandoah.
Run the radio station.
Yep, and I was surprised when I found out Paul Rhodes was the guy.
Yeah, and I was in Orlando at the time, so I was kind of like you. I wasn't as tapped in, so maybe there were other people.
Perhaps, yeah. This is the one search I think that we probably have the least amount of perspective on.
But it made sense.
But I do know that Turner Gill was a key candidate that they had zeroed in on.
And he...
Which, that made sense.
Yeah, he had just had a couple really good, successful years at Buffalo, which was a tough place to win.
Yep.
He's a Midwest guy. And I think he wanted to wait until Pelini failed at Nebraska.
Yeah.
To take a job in the Midwest.
Was Pelini already there?
Yeah, because Pelini got hired in 07. That was 08.
Okay.
But then he realized, Pelini's just going to win 9 games. What am I going to do? So I think he panicked and took the Kansas job and
got paid.
I don't know where he is now. I honestly don't.
Neither do I.
Yeah, that ended. And he was there for 2 years.
Kansas. That's all he was at.
2 years. Get rid of him.
Yeah, and that's kind of a sad story, too. From what I understand, Turner Gill's like a fantastic dude.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's a guy you want to root for.
Right. But he took the wrong job, and now, you know, he's the head coach now at Liberty.
Liberty?
Mm-hmm.
Are they FCS?
They are.
Well, at least he's still in the game, I guess.
But it's interesting, though. There's two sides to coaching searches. The school has to find the right guy. Coach has to.
Well, I wrote this on our board earlier this week because there were, you know, people calling for Rhodes' head.
Mm-hmm.
And Tom Herman's getting tossed around. I'll tell you one thing right now. If Iowa State comes open, I don't think Tom Herman would take this job. Why would you?
Yeah.
And, you know, listen, I think most people listening know I love Iowa State. Sure. I want Iowa State to do well. But if you're Tom Herman in Houston, you're about guaranteed at this point to win 9-10 games a year. You can do it as long as you want.
Mm-hmm.
You're making $1.4 million with your incentives. You're probably making two if you're going to bowl games. If he just sits still and wins 10, 11 games the next 3 years, he's got the USC job, or you know what I mean? Like
Texas?
That, yeah, Texas or something like that. So, like, to think like that guy is going to leave Houston and come to Iowa State, I mean, I'm sorry. I don't think yeah. It's going to happen.
Well, which is weird because he was, if you took a poll of Iowa State fans in 11 when he left,
they're happy.
Over half say, good.
Yeah.
See it. But it's a weird game, man. Like that, you never know who's going to be good, who's going to be bad. But I wonder. It takes two sides. But that was the last football coaching search was 2008. And they did that pretty quickly. I think it was pretty clear that Jamie wanted a guy that wanted to be in Ames after what happened with Gene.
Mm-hmm.
So that, and Rhodes was
just listen, good. At the end of the day, no matter how this season ends, I still think Paul Rhodes goes down as a good hire.
I agree.
Only in the sense that if you stack it up objectively by the numbers, statistically, what he's done compared to what other Iowa State coaches have done, it has not been a tremendous failure. Like a lot of people, has it ended poorly? Absolutely. Well, it's not over yet. I don't want to make it seem like that. There's still 9 games to be played this year. But
from where they were.
Yes.
And those first 4 years were those fun. Were fun.
They were fun years.
I mean, you can't take that away.
All right. You want to go to basketball?
Yeah. So we'll do these quickly, the old school ones, at least that I know about. Of course, the most famous one is Johnny Orr when he was hired.
Yep.
The original call went to his assistant. Friedman is his name. Johnny, classic Johnny, picks up the phone. You're going to pay him how much? Why didn't you hire me? So he got the job, as the legend goes. So he was here.
That is so great.
Yeah, he was here until they hired Tim Floyd. Floyd was hired by Gene Smith, the popular candidate endorsed by Johnny. A lot of fans, kind of a TJ situation. Jim Hallahan, of course, was
still around.
And he did the Iowa games for a little bit.
Yeah, now I see Jim all the time.
Jim's still in Iowa.
I saw Jim under the golf outing a few weeks ago.
Jim was the associate head coach under Johnny Orr, who a lot of people thought would get the job. But Gene Smith ended up going with the young guy from New Orleans, named Tim Floyd. Floyd leaves. Iowa State has a search firm made up of 3 people. Gene Smith, Gary Thompson, and Mr. Stark from Fort Dodge. He's a businessman.
Okay.
One of the biggest boosters.
Yeah, I don't know anything about this, so you're teaching me right now. Yeah.
It took them a week. They had one guy in mind. They fly out to Logan, Utah. The coach there has been offered jobs at San Jose State, UNLV, and somewhere else. Who else was it? That man, Larry Stacey. One guy. They target him right away. Got him. So Larry comes to Ames as their one and only call after Floyd left, and he was hired within a week of Floyd leaving. So, and Larry...
No other candidates.
Which this is weird. This was interesting to me. Because we think of Larry now, because he's been around for a while. I mean, this was 1998. Of Larry being an older guy now. Larry at the time was 41 years old. Guess how old Steve Prohm is? I think Steve Prohm's Steve. 40.
Yeah, yeah, he's around 40, yeah.
40 or 41. No, he is. He just turned 41. So Steve Prohm is the same age as Larry was when Larry came to Iowa State, which I think would surprise people because they remember Larry, you know, as what he is now. But he was actually a younger coach when he came to Iowa State and was extremely successful at Utah State. But this is the best part, which I did not know until I was doing some research today. The athletic director at Utah State when they hired Larry Stacey away from the Aggies at Utah State was?
I have no idea.
Bruce Vanderbilt.
Shut up.
Full real.
Are you serious?
Full real. Bruce Vanderbilt.
How has that not gotten out there?
I don't know. Like, I had never heard that. Why didn't we know that?
So
Bruce Vanderbilt was the AD at Utah State when Iowa State pried him away.
So that relationship is way deeper than...
Yeah. I don't know.
That's phenomenal.
Isn't that?
Wow.
That stunned me when I read that today. Because there's a quote from
Vanderbilt. How is that not common knowledge?
There's a quote from Vanderbilt saying, we did what we could to keep him. We couldn't keep him.
Wow.
Fast forward 5 years. Who's the one that has the ultimate decision to...
And runs him out of town.
Give Larry the boot. Bruce Vanderbilt. Nuts. I had no idea.
I don't even know how we go on from here. I mean, you just blew my mind.
Isn't that crazy?
We gotta do an exclusive with Vanderbilt on this.
Well, and Vanderbilt was there for like a year at Utah State, but he tried to get him to stay. So, I don't know if there's something there.
What's he doing now? Because he got fired at Louisiana Tech.
I don't know where he is now. But that shocked me. That shocked me. So Larry, of course, has this falling out, which everyone knows about the falling out. But the coaching search that followed was a complete mess. Complete mess. I mean, they interviewed guys.
Oh, the Wayne Morgan one?
The guys interviewed. Oh, I wish I had the list. I should have. I was a dude from Fresno State who ended up getting in NCAA trouble.
Okay.
McLean from Wyoming. It was now an assistant.
Steve McLean?
Yep, under Tom Crean in Indiana.
He's floated around for a long time. Like, he's been a top-level assistant for a lot of good coaches.
They looked at Altman.
At Creighton at the time?
Yep, didn't want it.
Creighton, he did not want it.
There was a guy who came to Ames and interviewed in person from Chattanooga, Jeff Lebo. He was a former player at North Carolina.
Then he went on to Auburn.
He did go on to Auburn.
Coached at Auburn.
He failed there.
Yep.
But he came to Ames and did the whole thing, live toured. And this is back when TV cameras would follow these people around, they'd weigh out and all this stuff.
Yeah.
That's the way. And he said, no, can't do it. Don't want to come to Ames. Don't want to follow Larry. Didn't want to work for Bruce.
Speaking of that, the wife touring thing, I heard that Bryce Drew was on campus this summer and got a tour.
Interesting. That wouldn't surprise me.
Honestly, like, on paper, that's a better hire than Prohm. On paper. On paper. I'm not saying, like, a better
loss.
Fit.
Win-loss.
Oh, he's got Big 12 ties.
But stylistically, Prohm makes more sense.
I agree. I'm just saying on paper.
Just paper, not looking at the stuff.
Correct. Yeah, I'm not intangibles not included.
So, Iowa State was in a world of hurt, because this is now late May, early June of 2003. And they've got three really good recruits waiting to figure out who the head coach is going to be, who are supposed to change the program. Curtis Stinson, Will Blaylock, Damion Staple. Staple's like the number one JUCO at the time. So Wayne's like, hey, I'll get you these guys.
Yeah.
I'll get you these guys. We can keep on going. We'll be okay.
You don't have to take a step back.
So Bruce kind of took the path of least resistance and goes with Wayne. And it worked for like a year and a half.
They were fun to watch those first 2 years.
They were. And
crazy inconsistent.
To his credit, he kept Denson, Blaylock, and Sick.
And you got Sean Taggart.
He got Tags. He got Tashid Carr. He got
Ivan Shurkulu. Yeah, there you go. I said his name.
There we go. He got Tom Clark. And you remember his staff?
Oh, yeah. Archibald.
Archibald, Cordobon. I mean, they had some dudes. And, jeez. But 06, let's go over there. That was our first coaching search.
Yep.
They let go of Wayne with the D1 coaching scandal. Look that up. That was the scandal.
Greg Doyle.
Yep.
Greg Doyle added out to get and, Wayne Morgan.
Well, and Stinson and Blaylock decided to go to the NBA.
Yes. And
before Wayne left.
Before Wayne left?
Yes. It was before Wayne left.
Seriously?
Yes. Yes, remember well the time.
From what I had always understood, there was a bit of a coup against whoever the next guy was going to be.
So, and I believe that. But so,
because all those guys said they were coming back and didn't.
The two main candidates were
Rob Jeter, well, Wisconsin, Milwaukee, who's still there has done nothing.
Who was a former? His dad was a football player at Iowa.
Was he? He'll get fired this year, is my prediction.
Get let go.
He'll get fired this year, and they'll key on Otzenberger.
Okay, well, that makes sense. Makes sense for both parties. And then McDermott,
yep.
Who had just interviewed at Kansas State.
Those are the only two guys I can think of from that whole deal.
Kansas State McDermott picks Iowa State. K-State hires Bob Huggins.
Yep.
That was pretty much it, though, wasn't it? It was pretty much Jeter.
Listen, I'm trying to think back. I mean, I just remember the whole time thinking it was Rob Jeter.
Yeah. He was the big – because he had the Wisconsin guy.
And they had
just gone to a Sweet 16.
And he was, like, the hot name. Yep. He was, like, the like Shaka Smart at that time. Like, he was a big deal.
But he held out. He never took a D1 job. Or not D1. Power 5 job. And he ended up – being mediocre.
He's still there, and he'll get fired pretty soon. I actually can't believe he's still there.
And that's the danger why some of these guys that stay, that's risky for them, like a Bryce Drew. Like, what if Valpo has 3 straight mediocre seasons? What is he going to do?
Yeah. He's a legacy guy. They're not
fired. Oh, I know. But that's the risk those young coaches have of when do I move, when do I stay?
You've got to wait until the right job.
Yeah.
That's the key. And that's what makes Iowa State football difficult going forward, in my opinion. However, it's a very different scenario now with the stadium, with the facilities. The Big 12 is more stable. I think it's a much better job than it was when they hired Rhodes.
I think it's better when they hired Rhodes, yes. I'll give you that.
But the new Big 12 hurts it.
Still not.
No. The setup of the Big 12 makes it very difficult.
It does. And the right guy, yeah. I mean, and here, listen, if Iowa State goes to a bowl game somehow this year, I don't know if there will be a change.
But if they go to a bowl game, there won't be.
That's one of my issues, and this is not for this podcast, but we're 3 games in. I know there's some writing on the wall. I'd like to see it play out first. That's my opinion.
That's just the type of guy you are.
Yeah, I'm a wait.
You're like that in life.
I like to look at the...
I'm with you.
I'm an optimist. But then the Hoiberg one, straight up, Fred.
Yeah, from what I mean, the only thing I remember from that is Billy Gillespie was campaigning hard for it.
Well, he wanted it.
Where is he now?
That joker. He's not coaching, I don't think.
I don't know. But he was, his people were working that angle really hard. And from what I understand, I mean, the second... as the story is told, Fred told Jamie when he hired McDermott, like, hey, I'm interested in this. And I think they both knew at the time, like, it wasn't realistic at that point. But when Greg left, I mean, Jamie knew exactly who he wanted to hire. And he drove up to Minneapolis and offered him a contract.
And it was a bold move. And I still think honestly, it was a great move. But the thing I remember most is you were on the radio that afternoon.
Yep.
Walters and Dave Z break the story.
And it was me and Hassel hosting.
You and Hassel, but...
Hassel had to leave.
And Cyclone Fanatic legend that everybody, it's a love-hate relationship because everybody loved to hate him. Matt Giggles Perrault comes on. And just, it is the best interview I've ever heard on KXNO. It is Perrault and Walters, who is a very mild-mannered individual, but he just had enough of Perrault's antics before he got on the air. And yeah, I don't know if that's anywhere, but it was
fantastic. Oh, it's somewhere.
It's somewhere. But that, and why?
God, that was a horrible position I was in at that point. I'll never forget how like awkward I felt. Because, I mean, I was still pretty young. I didn't have a lot of pull at that time.
2010.
Oh, and I like my mentor Walter is on there, and then the guy I'm co-hosting with, and I'm like, oh crap, what
he's
do
going
I do?
At him. Oh, that was classic. That was classic. And it, if you
Perrault had like Rob, didn't Rob Howell do the same thing with him about the Brabdo thing at Iowa?
Yeah, like a year later.
Yeah,
he mixed it up.
Didn't you and Perrault have beef?
He got mad at me once for something.
Yeah.
He called me out for something.
He called everybody out. I was on his national show, that Yahoo Sports show he does, when Fred left.
Glad to see he's still employed.
Yeah, I went and talked about Fred with him. That was fun.
Yeah, good for him. But yeah, I'm not sad he's not here anymore. No, I mean, he was entertaining, but I think he'd worn out his.
Yeah.
He was kind of like a... Chizik. For a couple years, do what you need to do.
See, I had a hard time because all my friends, nobody liked him, but he was always good to me.
Oh, yeah, I mean...
I'm just kind of the type where... But it bothered me when he went after you that one time.
Yeah, well,
my little brother. I get pretty defensive over you.
Well, I don't usually mix it up with anybody.
What about John Miller calling you out on Twitter the other day?
That's fine.
That was... I thought that was uncalled for.
I didn't try and involve him, but he didn't involve himself.
You didn't say anything about the University of Iowa.
I did not.
You were talking about Iowa State.
And kickers. But anyway, it's all good.
So is that it? Is that all of our coaching searches?
That's it for now. Those are the main ones. I mean,
is that foreshadowing?
No. Well, there will be another coaching search. Like, I'm not. If we would have done this a year ago, though, I don't know if we would have guessed that we've already talked about a men's basketball coaching search.
I always thought that Fred would stay through Niang. And then he would leave.
But then it grew on me, the other theory of why you go now.
Yeah.
Or why you went this summer.
I hope
that... I'm happy for him. I hope...
He's very happy.
I hope Prohm...
I hope it works.
Because...
He has a very hard job.
It's...
The guy's in an impossible situation.
It's a tough spot, man. Like,
because
it's
if he goes to a Sweet 16, people are going to say, oh, with Fred, they would have gone to the Final Four. If he goes to the round of 32, people are going to melt down. Like, he is in a very tough spot.
He's got a great team, though. And as a coach, if you think you're good, right? He's a confident guy. You've talked to him.
Yes.
Believes in himself.
Yep.
You want the best chance, and he's got a good chance this year.
He's got that, and did you read the piece I published, would have been on Tuesday, looking ahead to the roster in 16? It looks a lot better than I thought it was going to
be. I agree with that. I think they're doing a good job, so I think I'm more optimistic about where they are now than, really, and I'm going to be honest, than when Fred was here in April. I'm not sure Fred could have recruited as well as those guys have done.
I think there's possibly some truth to that.
But that doesn't change what this year, which that's going to be, he's going to be judged by this year, fairly or unfairly. So that's it's going to be here before we know it.
Hey, guys, the next football home game, here's what I want you to do. I want you to call our friends at Buffalo Wild Wings in Ames and Ankeny, and you got to get your wings to go and put them in a crock pot. Ask them for some sauce. You want some ranch, maybe a little blue cheese. Maybe you mix them together. Do whatever you want to do. But you got to support our friends at Buffalo Wild Wings and Ames and Ankeny.
Get it done.
This is the fifth of six summer series podcasts. The next one will be an Indian summer series. Do we even know? Are we using the phrase Indian summer correctly? That's like late summer. So I think we've been botching it.
I don't know.
The fall podcast.
Thank you for listening.
From Buffalo Wild Wings.
That was fun.
That was fun.
Good stuff.
Thanks for listening, guys.
Be well.
Have a great bye week.